This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please pray with me. Lord, Son of God, Messiah, Chosen One, you offer us life, new life. As you breathe your Spirit upon us, as your Father did for the first of us, we breathe into the space of your presence, of your invitation to discover your love and to learn of the many ways we are graced and gifted. You show us and give us delight to hear and follow you, to give our witness and our testimony to you, Lord, Son of God, Messiah, Chosen One. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today we hear in the Gospel of John the Baptist's account of the baptism of Jesus and the calling of the first disciples. And we are enchanted in ways in which Jesus beckons us to come and to follow him. I don't know when we first learned of Jesus individually, but maybe something we do remember is our own baptisms. Now, if you were an infant, probably not. If you were older, yes, most likely. I'll share my baptism. I was about around 10 or 11. I was finally out of a grade school and amongst people who were primarily baptized, and I was not. And I was then in an Episcopal school where the priest who came to teach us about baptism and confirmation just touched my heart, and I wanted to be baptized. So a given Saturday, my family, the godparents, my brother who's 3 years old, and various friends met us in the church over to the side chapel. This is when we did private baptisms. We now do it in public because it is a public declaration of giving oneself to God and to be baptized and of being part of a larger community, a difference in thought, a different way of approaching it. So I was so excited. I had a new dress, finally going to get baptized. We go there. We gather over in the side chapel. The moment is coming, and I look over to the side, and the acolyte is Scott Brown, the fellow I've had a crush on for a year who hasn't noticed me out of anywhere. And my distraction took me off the purpose for which I was there. Refocused, baptism, finally getting there, not looking at Scott, it's going to be the moment. And as they are pouring the water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, my brother is doing flips over the altar rail. It was an interesting time. It happened, which is the main thing. But other baptisms from the other side of the baptismal font, let me give you two examples. One was Brad. Brad was about 4 months old, 5 months. His family was excited. This was before the congregation. They present him in this family gown, which is of satin or silk or whatever it was. It was hard to hold on to him. And he weighed about 30 pounds, and he did not want to be baptized. No way, no shape, no form. And to administer this sacrament of new life, of coming together in fellowship, is embarrassing when you have to wrestle him down in the name of the Father and the Son, and he was squirming. It was certainly a challenging moment. He is baptized. Amen. Then there was Amanda. Amanda was about 11 or 12. Oh my goodness, she loved the Lord and still does. She wanted to be baptized. She prayed. She had her family there, all of them gathered around the baptismal font. And she was just pious in the beauty of the word, pious, wanting to be in God's presence through Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And she was baptized. We rejoiced. They say she loves to go to church anywhere. She loves to go and look at the art, the statues, the beautiful stained glass windows, wherever she is. And she thinks she wants to be a priest. We'll see. She's about 16 now and still on the road. But that was an example of three baptisms where we're very blessed that it doesn't depend upon us to have total devotion, but that our families care that we are baptized into this community, into the life of Christ. And that, indeed, by virtue of it, we are adopted. God adopts us as his children, makes us members of Christ's body, the church, and inheritors of the kingdom. Hear this. Adopts us as his children, makes us part of the body of Christ, the church, and inheritors of the kingdom. And that in that sacrament also, in its inward and spiritual grace, that we are in union with Christ through his death and resurrection, that we are given birth into God's family, the church, forgiveness of sins, and inheritors of new life in the Holy Spirit. What gifts, what grace. In the Gospel's reading today, John the Baptist has been anointed to preach the fact that he has testimony as to who is indeed the Son of God, that he was sent to baptize to reveal the one who is to come for the sake of Israel and for the nations. And as he's standing there, called day two in the Gospel of John, when we think back of that beautiful prologue about Jesus being sent as the Word and the Word being made flesh, and that John indeed is appointed to be the one who's going to be the proclaimer of Jesus who comes, that as Jesus passes, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." It's repeated on day three in our reading. The next day, Jesus passes again, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Referring to Exodus 12, where it is indeed God's instructions to the people of Israel the night before their deliverance from slavery in the land of Egypt, that they are to take a lamb to sacrifice it, to put the blood on the lintel, the beam of the door, and the side post, so that that angel of death that passes over will continue to go by and not bring destruction to their home. And that they're to eat it in their sandals and dressed and ready to go, standing, because the day of liberation has come. Commentators argue and don't agree necessarily about the reference other than it is from Exodus 12. But here's the Lamb of God that brings liberation to us all. And he says that he is the one who can give testimony to the fact that this is indeed the one. He's called the Chosen, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed. And he says, "I am the one because it has been told to me that when I see the Spirit of God come upon him and remain, he is the one." We'll watch for this word "remain" because it also means abide. So first, John sees indeed the Spirit remain with Jesus, and we'll hear in further words how this word plays out in this gospel. So the two that are standing there, we know one is Andrew. Behold, being a disciple already of John, we know that he's heard John's words through the other gospels, what John said. Get things right with one another. Get things right with God. If I've got two cloaks, give one to someone else. Don't be as a tax collector, collect too much. Make right. If you're a soldier, you do what you're told, but not to be onerous against the people you are occupying. We know that he brought this road of making it straight so that the one called by God to come could come on a straight road into their presence, into their hearts. So being prepared like that, they see Jesus that second day, and they follow him. And Jesus turns to them to see who is following. And he turns to them and says, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" I love that because he is saying, when he turns to us, it takes me right into those baptismal vows that we said, and it was, not if, but when I fall, when I sin, that I promise to return to the Lord. And it's the Lord looking at them and our looking at the Lord to always be turned back towards the vision of the Lord. What are you looking for? What are we looking for? And they say, where are you staying? Where are you abiding? In whom are you abiding? Where are you abiding? And his invitation is, come and see. That's our invitation. Come and see. They called him Rabbi because they saw him as a teacher, and they go and they spend a good part of the day with him, listening, enchanted, I am sure. So much that Andrew goes and he says to his brother, we found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. Come and see him. The witness of John the Baptist to Andrew and the other disciple, they see, they understand, is what it means to see and to understand. They go then, Andrew, to his brother and say, you've got to come see him yourself. We are called to be witnesses because we have seen the Lord and to tell others of his grace. Peter goes and he sees the Messiah. He sees Jesus. And Jesus says, oh, you are Simon, son of John. Son of John, he knew that. Your name is now Cephas. Renamed, new identity, new person, new life. He saw right into Peter's heart as he sees into our hearts how we are now and what we're created to be, what we're called to live into through our delight and joy in knowing him. Often, I feel constrained because I feel I have to act a certain way as a Christian. It feels sort of forced. It's not coming from the joy of my heart of knowing him. But yet, when I allow myself to see that invitation, come and see, it opens a world for me that allows me to pursue those places where I think Christ's presence is calling me into in a different way. It might be in teaching. It might be in study. It might be in service. It might be in so many different ways. But it's supposed, not the fact that it's hard, because it might require our perseverance, but it is to be joy and love in him. By word and example, will you proclaim the good news of God in Jesus Christ? Is one of our baptismal vows. We look at the way that John the Baptist did. He continued until his death, proclaiming that he had seen indeed the Son of God. And will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? In the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's letter from the Birmingham jail, he writes a number of things. It is one of the longest letters, treatises that he has written. It was because he explained when he, in his letter, said, I apologize that this letter is so long, but I am sitting here in jail, and it's easier to get my thoughts down on paper, so let me put them all before you. This was in Birmingham in 1963, where he and others were arrested for being demonstrators for the people of Birmingham, where certain agreements with the local merchants had not been followed through about putting signs in their windows of who was allowed in to shop and who wasn't. And so as a result of protesting civilly, they were arrested. He writes the letter primarily to the white clergy of Birmingham and to the white moderates with whom he thought he had support. And it is out of his grief, he says, because it's out of my love for you that I write this letter. And he said at one point he had been called an extremist in the press by the clergy. And he said, one point I want to make, called an extremist, and at first I was offended. But then he realized it was an honor, that is, though not as they had intended it. First, he wrote, everyone is an extremist in one way or another. Secondly, Jesus was an extremist for love and for his Father's glory. He writes, the question is not whether he will be an extremist, but what kind of an extremist will we be? Extremist for hate or extremist for love? Will we be extremist for preservation of injustice or for the extension of justice? Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Then later he goes on to write in the letter, it is possible that you are in too great a religious hurry. It has taken Christianity almost 2,000 years to accomplish what it has the teachings of Christ take time to come to earth. Actually, time itself is neutral because they'd asked him to be more patient, to wait for this justice to come. Just wait. Human progress never rolls in on wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of men willing to be co-workers with God. And without that hard work, time itself becomes an ally of social stagnation. We must use our time creatively in the knowledge that time is always ripe to do right. The creativity, the love, come and see, come, become. Are we baptizers, proclaimers to get it right in right relationship with one another? Are we students looking for a rabbi and now delight in God's word? Are we blind looking for the light and announcers of an aha moment, an awareness of God's presence? Are we prisoners seeking release and now witness to the joy of freedom for us and for others? Once poor, now rich in the abundance of God's strength and riches. Come and see. Come enjoy God's presence in Christ. Come and understand. Amen.